Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. You're in a room right now with three lovely boys. I'm one of them.
It's like a mind palace.
Exactly.
You have to imagine being the fourth person on this round table that we sit around.
Pull up a chair. Join us by the campfire.
Squeak.
Oh, this is good. Can we just do some sound effects?
Yeah,
this is nice. I'm joined today by Joe Screbbles.
Hello, Traveller.
And I just call him Cardi. Just one name.
Good. He actually doesn't know my first name. We had this conversation the other day.
Rupert?
He just thought my name was Cardi.
Cardi, yeah.
I knew a guy whose first and middle name were both Sammy.
Not Sammy?
No, S-A-M-E-H. Sammy.
Sammy.
He was a cool guy.
He sounds like
his parents are absolute jokers.
His parents, I once went to their house and we were just walking around and found a book about coping with divorce.
Oh.
But he didn't know his parents were getting divorced.
That's bad.
It's because one of them gave him that name. The other one was just like, "What?"
Probably shouldn't name 2/3 of someone's name and then talk about their parents' divorce. But sells, mate.
Yeah.
I hope you're all right.
They're
now.
Like, "Oh, look at that one. Read this book. How to Murder Your Son." Don't look at that one either. Look at this one. Bank Fraud for Beginners. Don't look at that one. Why do we keep these?
And he's in jail for fraud. So it's a shame. Poor old Sammy.
They already suspected it because they thought he had written his name wrong. That's what it was, but no, turned out to be right. Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. This is a video game and movies podcast.
If it's your first time here, and that's why we're going to start by talking about a 10K fun run we're doing.
Exactly. Some of the lovely boys here, including myself, are going to be running 10K this Sunday to raise some money for Special Effect.
Yes.
Which, if you don't know, is an incredible charity that helps people with disabilities enjoy video games. Because
mm-hmm.
we think video games are brilliant.
They are actually quite good.
And everyone should get to play them. So if you are interested in supporting the charity and helping us out, we're going to be running, as I said, this Sunday. How do we do it? I can't say
what's
a link.
What's
you
the URL? Click, tell me what the URL is,
bit.
Joe.
bit.ly/, and that's a forward slash, not a backslash. Get used to it, because you're not going to see many backslashes on the internet.
Hell no.
And then run IGN, all one word, but annoyingly, capital R and all the IGN bits capitalized as well.
That's mad. Just say
bit.ly links.
It's
grow
on Twitter.
Up.
It's on Twitter or Facebook or
I'm
whatever.
I'm sure you could just search something along those lines like people running for charity. That'll probably find us.
Sweaty chub nerds
IGN,
run for money.
Yeah, IGN UK, fat, dead. That'll get there. That's your AOL keywords.
/fat/
That's
fat.
All I think while I run. Fat, dead.
Dying
that's
dead.
All I've got.
I'm so not prepared for this. I'm in some of the worst shape I think I've been in.
Oh my God.
A long time.
I've done.
You boys are drinking right now. You've got beers on the table.
You boy. I did lots of training for the last 2 years. Fun runs. Not so this year.
Not
and
so
it's
much
hotter than ever.
But the good thing with this is we don't have to win. We just have to run.
Oh, do you know what
we
the best thing is?
Not...
It'll be like 29 degrees in blazing sun. You'll love that.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Fat, hot, fat.
They are going to do
cooking.
They are going to do that beautiful thing though, where they have the misters. They fire mist across the course.
It is incredible.
God damn, when you're running under Big Ben with that mist in your eyes, you love London more than ever.
You are born again. That's the last time we're going to plug the run. So thank you so much for everyone who has supported so far.
But it would be amazing if we hit our target.
It'd beforehand. Be also amazing if we did that. So.
It'd be quite incredible.
Yeah, check it out. Anyway, first up on the podcast, we're going to be talking about Season 5 of Fortnite.
Tell me all about it, Rory. You said it was exciting.
It was super exciting. If you don't know Fortnite or how it kind of works, instead of really paying for the Battle Royale mode, all you really do is pay for a quote-unquote season pass, which lasts around 2 or 3 months, where they make it available to unlock skins, cosmetics, emotes, all these different things, instead of actually buying the full game.
Mm.
Which means that every time a season ends, there's a little break, and then they bring in the next season, where they have added new weapons, new items, changed the map, which everyone can enjoy, even the people that don't have the battle pass. This time, I think this is the furthest they've ever taken it. They've added so much different stuff and changed the map so substantially, but in really cool ways. Like, we have full vehicles now for the first time, like mini little golf carts.
Yeah, because the shopping carts kept breaking, didn't they?
Yeah, and
that was what everyone said was the first vehicle, but then they were just like, oh, it don't really work. They keep falling through the map.
Yeah, it's. I mean, they are really fun to go whizzing around, but it's really, really difficult. And they've also changed like an entire fifth of the map and changed it into this kind of desert paradise resort down in the corner.
But they have got rid of my farm.
They did get rid of the farm where me and Cardi used to tend to the crops. And
that's
murder.
The only reason I played to go to that farm.
Used to don't play anymore. Plow there.
Yeah, I used to plow the farm.
Me and Cardi used to plow on the farm.
Yep. It's not harvest season anymore, boys.
He's not lying. He actually only played for the farm.
Yeah.
Anytime I said we're not dropping at the farm, he was just
shut down his console.
Rainbow Six, is it? Has it made any tangible difference to the community? Like, are people angry that the map's changed, or are they happy that the map's changed? Like, it seems, because when you build a game around one set place,
yeah,
to change it so significantly surely messes with people's strats and tactics and stuff.
I think it'll, I'm not entirely sure the way they do it, but I can assume from the locations that have changed so far, they must have some algorithm or analytics to show which are the least popular locations on the map. Because every time something has changed, it's usually in locations that are either not iconic at all or have no one would ever go there. Like, they just got rid of the swamp. I mean, you shouldn't have started with a swamp.
It had moisty as one of the words. I'm not into it. I'm glad they got rid of it.
It was grim. You know, no one wanted to go down to the little boggy swamp.
You never told me about it. I'll definitely go down
the swamp.
Yeah.
You were in love with the farm.
Yeah, but if you told me about the swamp, I would have gone down the swamp.
Put a barn in that swamp and he's going to go crazy.
But it's actually a really cool idea. Like, unlike PUBG, they were just like, hey, we've made a new map. Or like a new mode in this like different area. Whereas like Fortnite is doing this kind of cool thing where the game changes quite a lot every season, but not enough to feel like you don't know what you're doing. Like, I could still drop on that map and I'd be like, oh, this is different. And I know that if I land there, I can still take this path. I know all these places and locations. So it always feels fresh, but it never feels new.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that's such a weirdly satisfying feeling. And it just means you're playing the same game, but it never gets boring.
Well, Fortnite's become one of those, like, there's small group of games like Dark Souls and Eve that I prefer reading about to playing. Like, I'm so shit at playing it, and I don't actually find it hugely compelling in and of itself. But reading about it every day, because they keep doing these amazing, like, semi-ARG type things, where it got to the point where they were dropping objects from the game into real life recently.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Into the Californian desert in phone boxes in London and stuff. Phone, come on. I'm going to throw my phone away. That it became, like, just weirdly compelling to treat it like a story being told, but in the weirdest possible way. Like, it became the news for me.
Yeah.
Like, well, Fortnite's the news now.
It's funny because you were mentioning that, like, this is what we looked to Overwatch to do.
Yeah.
Tell these mad ARGs and these cool stories. And just, I don't know if it's just because Fortnite has a higher frequency of, like, updates and story releases. It just feels fresh, but, like, it feels like Overwatch has died down massively.
Well, they're
now,
not chopping out half a King's Row to replace it with something else.
That's like, obviously, they've got a giant hamster.
Yes.
They have got a giant hamster.
Obviously, it's a different game, and it would be mental to go, hey, by the way, this extremely finely tuned map is now different.
Yeah.
But there is something really special about the way Fortnite can just chop and change and, like, remove things or have, like, I still don't even understand, like, server-wise, how things were disappearing in real time and crowds could watch them happen. Like, that's incredible.
I mean, I watched the missile launch, which was one of the most, like, insane things I've ever experienced in a video game before.
Yeah.
Like, all my friends trying to make sure they were in the game world at a certain time to watch an in-game event. I was like, this is insane. That's this is really cool.
You only really hear about that when MMOs are closing and everyone's having, like, those parties for the, like, to watch the world die.
Watch the world end. Imagine they did that with Fortnite. Like,
just turned off.
Got it now.
The best game in the world, nuked. Well, millions of people just die.
Wasn't it Dota or League recently that had a character that, in the context of the game, died? And they just took him out of the game?
Oh, I think, like, that was League of Legends. Yeah.
And it's like, that's some people were play that character and have paid for him, and he's just dead.
Imagine being the voice actor. It's like, do you need me anymore? No. We need you to say, ugh, and then you're pretty much contract finished.
Shit. Yeah. For story reasons, you're fired.
I actually got a Victor Royale at lunch.
Did you?
Yeah, in squads. Ooh. Dropped in, whole squad got wiped, except yours truly. Mm-hmm. Then I kind of like...
Goblined around.
Goblined my way around the map till the very end. Managed to kill a guy who had, I don't know why, but 12 traps on him.
You just love traps?
I love traps.
Traps. He's the trapper.
And the circle was getting really small. So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? Because no one was there. It's like, I'm going to just build this mad maze and fill it with all my traps. So when people have to come in and try and kill me, it'll just be like, shoom, 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 like traps everywhere. But then I forgot, after I was like huddling in the middle of my trap maze, that now in the final circle, it doesn't just shrink, it moves.
Oh,
so
shit.
The whole thing started moving, and now I'm stuck in a trap maze of my own creation, freaking the shit out. I get out, and it's just like, poof, popped immediately. Yeah, so.
You didn't get Victory Royale then, did you?
Oh, no, I popped him immediately.
Oh, yeah. God.
It was good. It was a good ending, but the traps did nothing, unfortunately.
Oh, that's really sad. Yeah. I was going to say that would be amazing if you've had that recorded, because I would definitely watch people get stuck in the trap
right,
maze.
Right, like a whole team come in. It's just...
Like you're the fucking Minotaur.
Yeah.
That's really good.
But it's a really interesting way to approach a season pass. And I've probably said it on this podcast before, but the game is free, guys. You know the hype's there. If you want to, you should totally check it out. And I think you can get a lot of enjoyment without having the season pass.
And
then obviously, if like you want to level up and get skins and stuff, that's where it comes from.
I love that we're advertising Fortnite.
I know.
It's absolutely insane.
I don't think they need it.
Look at Antoine Griezmann doing Fortnite celebrations at the World Cup, and you're like, yeah, well, you know, you should give it a go.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if this podcast was like that? We were like, yeah, so that's the newest game. Just a reminder, everyone, the new Fortnite Battle Pass, $8.99, purchasable on all online stores. What's next on the topic? Ronies, the popular beer, Sainsbury's, Tesco's, on sale now.
They won't fucking sponsor us, so piss off, Ronies. We'll keep drinking you.
You gotta beep that, because then if they ever listen back, they're like, should we sponsor these guys?
Shit.
Piss off, Ronies.
Well,
they'll play that at a meeting or something.
Seems like we're past the point of no return with Ronies.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are drinking Buds. So
exactly.
It's pretty much not a done deal.
Shouldn't have had this beer, I'm sleepy.
Are you?
Yeah.
Come on, do something big.
Perk up.
Make your body big. Do that. It gives you energy.
Does it?
Yeah, do a big star shape.
Hey.
Look how excited he is.
I was going to say there's a way to like get rid of hiccups, but is there a way to like spike yourself up a
cocaine.
Bit?
Cocaine.
Punch yourself in the face.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I sometimes slap.
Don't advertise cocaine.
I wasn't saying buy it now.
Cocaine, it is available now, though, at all reliable street vendors.
Good corners, yeah.
No bad corners.
Any North London street corner, you're going to find a bit in a little bag. It's attached to a padlock, like one of those things you put a pound coin in to get a shopping trolley. You can have as much as you want.
Yeah.
I think people
just
would
have to also say drugs, not condoning them.
No.
No.
But
not impugning them.
You know, you won't fall asleep.
Smack looks all right.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
And I bet if you took a lot of meth, you'd really enjoy Captain Toad.
You could have made a joke about mushrooms.
Oh, you absolute moron.
Yeah. Dale, I need you to cut that bit.
Captain Toad's on crack.
In the last 2 weeks.
Very Moorish.
Yeah. I've played Captain Toad through twice in its entirety. I've played it through on Switch, and I've played it through on 3DS, because I'm that dedicated to a four-year-old game when I re-review it. It is really good. I didn't play it on Wii U. I played almost everything there was good to play on Wii U, and I missed Captain Toad.
Really?
And that game is A, wicked. B, I think one of the best-looking games of the year. Because Nintendo are actual magic people, it looks insane.
Which is weird, because it's not a game that I would necessarily think is going to be beautiful.
No, but just
a little toad goblin running around.
Whoa. One of its little...
He's so cute.
He's
a gorgeous
right.
little man. There's a shot in our video
he's not the
review
best one.
That I got. I found out he's got loads of little contextual animations. And one of them is when you get all three hidden gems in a level, which are like the way you progress, he'll turn around and just clap his hands and go... Nyah! And it's fucking amazing. I did it about 60 times,
Rory,
just to watch
that's
it.
That's not cute, is it?
Did you goblin. Know that mushroom... on his head is a hat, not his head.
Yeah, I think I had heard that. That's good, because he's eating mushrooms all the time. So it's more like he's a mushroom fan than a mushroom.
A cannibal, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Also, everything in Mario's world has eyes. So you're eating a sentient mushroom and eating a sentient star. It's not on.
Yeah, but like cool guy. He's a fungi guy.
If you haven't played, that. You didn't even see
fungi.
Yeah, fungi.
We're missing all the easy goals.
We're
today,
all this hard to work with you.
I'm so sorry.
Oh god,
Captain Toad. If you don't know,
fungi guy.
Fungi guy.
It was such a stretch, and it was still wrong.
Right. You know what? Let's just not talk about Captain Toad. Let's keep talking about that. What were you thinking?
That is bad. I mean, so I've missed the mushroom joke. Cardi missed the fungi pun. It's all up to you. You know,
what's
Joe,
coming next?
You've got to bring it home with
you
a ringer.
You already advertised hard drugs.
I said Smack was great, so that's fine.
Is the re-review live now?
Oh, yeah, it's out there.
It is.
It is
in the world.
There.
What, can I ask, was the number that you gave it?
Oh, don't you read reviews, Rory? Just look at numbers.
I scroll
reads
to
the text.
End.
He doesn't read the score.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's a purist. So
I gave it an 8.7, which is a 0.5 increase
on
the original, because I think it looks better. It's got rid of one of the big problems, which is on Wii U. It had a mad decision to... The camera was mapped to the gamepad, so if you moved at all, the camera just shook around, and you couldn't turn it off, which is fucking ridiculous.
That is
so
mad.
They got rid of that. That's good. And the Super Mario Odyssey levels are insane. They're so good. Like, there's four of them. There's not enough, to be fair. But it becomes really quickly apparent, and I say this in the written version of the review, that Captain Toad is probably a closer relative to Super Mario Odyssey than Super Mario 3D World, the last Mario game, is. Because they're both based on this miniature gardening, which, as you know, Cardi, is called...
Hakoniwa?
Hakoniwa. Which
Ooh.
Is...
Didn't I speak Japanese, did you?
Japanese miniature gardens, where everything is about the sort of style and quality within a very strict set space. And, like, the interest in making as much as possible in a small space,
right,
as opposed to sheer scale, which is what both of these things were built on. So Captain Toad is little miniature levels with hidden nooks and crannies, and it's all about where you're looking from, like perception puzzles.
Okay.
And Odyssey is all about tiny open worlds absolutely packed with stuff.
Yeah.
And so you can draw this through line. And then when you're playing the Super Mario Odyssey levels with Captain Toad, you're like, holy shit, this is what... These are just tiny Odyssey worlds. Like,
right,
you can feel the same design philosophy in both of them. It's
fascinating.
Wow,
that's cool, isn't it?
So it's really cool to play a game that feels like you're going, oh shit, I'm seeing a prototype of a game I've gone on to play afterwards.
Yeah.
So if you're a big nerd like me, that's wicked.
Does that make you want to play more Odyssey?
Oh, when are we getting a new Odyssey world?
There's got to be more kingdoms.
All we got was that weird little balloon thing that looked...
Where the people kept putting porn in it the other day. Did you see that?
What?
Someone found a hack where you could change your profile picture, which you're not allowed to do. There's just the set ones on the Switch.
Right.
And your profile picture goes on your balloons in Super Mario Balloon
oh,
World.
Oh, yes!
So people are getting porn and just putting it on the balloons. And that is not on, mate. We
big
can't
old,
condone that.
Big old donk in New Donk City.
Heroin, fine. Donk balloons, not. That's the IGN UK
promise. What
were
they putting on? Like... big old pair of tits or something?
Well, yeah, everything I saw was censored because it was on, you know, websites where they didn't want to just post porn on them. But
damn it, I was going to... should I look it up? Is that a weird thing to do on a podcast?
Are you just trying to get a lob on whilst we're chatting?
Get a new donk on. I want to go to New Donk City, baby.
New Donk titties, there
I'm
we go.
I'm just interested in what people would put up there. Is it Mario-based porn? Is it regular
no,
porn?
No, it's just going to be any old filth.
All right, fine, I won't look it up then.
I think you should.
Oh, just
right,
search any
go.
Old filth.
I'm not going to Google any old filth.
Whilst you do that, me and Cardi will have a quick talk about an upcoming game called We Happy Few.
I'm going to hop off the Wi-Fi for this one.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Incognito it.
You big perv. We Happy Few.
Yeah. We had some very nice developers come in our studio and we got to play it.
Yeah. I'd never played this game before. I haven't really seen much apart from the initial trailer, which is quite a few years ago now, isn't
it? Yeah, I think it's like 3 or 4.
And the game seems to have changed completely since that.
Well, in terms of what the game does, so to explain, We Happy Few is a game set in an alternate version of the 60s in the UK where something mad has happened that may or may not have to do with Nazis.
Oh, almost definitely.
And you are a character. Everyone in this world... is forced to take a drug that keeps them constantly happy.
It's just a drugs episode, isn't it? Drugs, drugs, drugs.
Well, it's a theme, isn't it? We've got specials all left, right, and centre. Let's make this the drugs special.
You can't.
Stick on Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds at the start. Let's go.
Actually, an urban myth that that song's about drugs, but there we go.
Well, you know.
Get it. Get a grip, Joe.
All right, I Am the Walrus. That's definitely on drugs.
Yeah, they were on drugs, don't get me wrong.
And yeah, so basically, everyone's taking these drugs. Your character at the start, Arthur Hastings, decides not to take these drugs anymore. And as Rebel. Such, becomes a downer. And downers are just fucking battered, as far as I can
understand
it.
It's such a cool idea.
It's a really cool premise.
Like, I really... Like, does it work? In terms of, like, mechanically? Like,
I really
fun?
Like the design, and I think the story's cool, and the world. The gameplay doesn't particularly...
This is what I'm worried about.
Well, it's weird to me. So, 2 or 3 years ago, I played this at Gamescom, and it was a straight, procedurally generated survival game. So you're just walking around these places, trying not to be spotted, staying alive, like, keeping your hunger topped up and
I
all
remember
that stuff.
That was really early on, wasn't it? Yeah.
And I really didn't like it. And I think a lot of people didn't like it. And at this point, they've now made it way more narrative. So there's a lot more character-based stuff.
Yeah.
And they have also toned down the survival elements. So they're still there. There's still hunger. There's still thirst.
Right.
But they're like buffs and debuffs, as opposed to if you run out of hunger, you die, which is kind of interesting. But I'm not sure it's like enough to sustain a whole game.
No.
And as far as we've seen, it's literally just... Guy goes, can you go over here? And you go through a place.
They're little fetch quests mixed in with some stealth and melee combat.
But then, but
there might be more.
But to be fair, what we've played is the start of the game
and
some tiny snippets of later on.
Yeah. As far as we can see, there was no shooting.
No. It definitely seems to be melee based, like kind of Skyrim, left trigger to block, right trigger to attack, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But I do really like the concept, and it might be enough to get me to play it a little bit. But yeah, the gameplay itself is still sort of... I honestly feel like you could get rid of most of the stealth and procedural generation, just have a really cool narrative game about, like, a fucked up 60s.
Yeah, anytime I hear about games like this where I'm worried about the gameplay, part of me is just like, I wish you would just turn this into, like, a Telltale-style, just multi-choice adventure.
Yeah. Like, I don't mind walking around a place if the place is interesting enough.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
And a good story's being told.
I guess a story like that is going to have conflict, isn't it, if you're the one person not taking their happy pills.
Yeah, but then you can make those, like you say, with Telltale, you can make a chase sequence something to interact with but watch, as opposed to just have to, like, run around or, like, you know, it can be QTE-based rather than, like, full action.
That's true.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, it's it's strange for a game to excite me more for its story than its gameplay.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a great sign.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea.
Yeah.
And we've made an excellent unofficial preview of
it. Yeah, that'll go up the same time, pretty much the same time this podcast goes up. So check that out. If you haven't seen our unofficial previews before, they're quite fun, I think.
They're Gav being really Welsh. And this one, he's Welsher than ever.
And if you like a lot of chat about the runs and diarrhea-based humour, this one's for you.
Oh, mate, it is full.
I thought you were going to say drugs. I haven't watched it yet,
actually.
Oh,
you're in for a treat.
I literally looked over at one point and just saw you watching a video of a man pissing.
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, I was like, what is that? And you went, that's the end.
that is the end.
Of what? The world?
That's the end of the game. Yeah. That's the final boss. It's amazing.
It really does take the piss.
That was kind of like...
He's back.
That was good, actually, yeah. If that felt like at that moment I was in a world where I hadn't taken my happy pills.
You not taking your happy pills is watching another man piss forever.
It's like I think we're all doing like Let's Plays and news videos, and then I miss my pill one afternoon. I turn around and it's just piss videos everywhere.
Or it's just all our desks are actually just urinals. Like, oh, no.
That's actually just what people are putting on those balloons in Mario. Just a lot of piss space stuff.
That was good. No. Cycling back to that, I did search pretty extensively for 3 minutes, and I could not find any uncensored pornographic balloons, even though
I
googled Super Mario porn balloons, which is now obviously put me on some sort of government list.
Yeah. you whatever Google has for like their own Google Wax, like the thing that's only ever been searched once, that's definitely one of them.
I know.
I don't even think you need the Mario. Well, I think it's porn balloons.
Porn balloons and drugs.
You pop them and there's a selection of 5 images inside.
Do you guys remember that? That story that went on, this is way down a road we don't want to go down. But do you remember that story, like when the 3DS came out, about that guy who took a bunch of dick pics and forgot to delete them off his 3DS and then traded it into a CES?
Who's doing that with a 3DS?
And then
because they'd be 3D.
Yeah, you could take wiggle picks. Like, wiggle picks are your dicks.
That is exciting. Like, it's, I think, for a man.
It's literally 3D in real life.
No, but for a man, I think there's a case to be made that a dick is the most 3D part of your body.
That's true.
Like, it sticks right up towards you. So sometimes, the idea of, like, pointing stuff at it and taking pictures of it that can then reflect that in a more chaste environment, I think is exciting.
You could see it from an angle.
What I'm saying is it was me.
This is a justification.
My God, imagine it was linked to your, like, Nintendo Network ID. It's like, Joe Scribbles, picture of KK Slider. And they're like, oh, what was Joe doing? Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Joe's 3DS.
That's a 3D butthole. Turn away, Billy.
It never ends. I can see down it forever.
Put the stylus down.
Oh, Christ.
Let's skip the next thing. Go straight to feedback. We're not going to talk about that.
Nah. What's next?
Next up, we're talking about, moving on from video games, we're going to talk about Glow.
Glow.
Oh, you've watched more than me, Joe. Ho, you've watched more than me.
What is going on?
I have to apologize.
Joe Glow. Tell us about Glow, Joe.
Oh, my God. I've watched almost all of season 2 now.
I can't not look at you now and think 3DS butthole. It's all I can see when
every
I look
time
at you.
I try and start talking about something seriously and intensively, Cardi said something mad and you're looking directly at me. It's really hard.
Sorry, okay.
Glow continues to be very good.
Awesome.
But it's still a show about fledgling ladies wrestling show. And all the same people are in it. And it contains wholesome jokes and some filth. And it's good.
I've only watched episode 1 of season 2 so far. And it seems like more of the same.
Yeah,
and
it basically
happy
is.
With that.
Like, it's directly a continuation. And all the storylines are exactly the same.
So season 1 is a necessity for watching season
100%.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there is no jumping.
But they're only
like
half an hour episodes.
Yeah, it nips along, like, for a dramedy.
What kind of Netflix show is it? Because there's a lot of... is it one I can put in the background?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
To me, it is. To me, it's a poor man's... what am I thinking of?
I don't know, mate.
The Aziz Ansari one. What's it called?
Oh, Christ.
The Modern Love. What's
what
it called?
Fucking hell?
What's it called?
Master of None.
That one, yeah. Which I think is a brilliant show. Oh. You're not a fan?
I've made my stance abundantly clear on this podcast before.
It's that kind of thing of... It's a comedy, but it's lighthearted. And I don't think I remember really laughing, but it's just kind of pleasant and goes along nicely.
I think structurally it's very different to Master of None, and you've wholly missold it.
Well, I was trying to get it's the same sort of light comedy.
Isn't it from the same people who did, or some of the same people who did Orange is the New Black?
Yeah, it's that sort of thing. You kind of watch it, but you're not really sure why you're watching it, but you kind of like it.
It's just like it's
plebs.
Plebs is the ultimate.
Yeah.
But Glow's like... It's full of interesting characters, and because there are so many of them, it can skip between them really easily and continually surprise you by having a different tone or a different storyline to the point where you're like, actually, there's not much substance to this, but I don't care that much.
Yeah.
Like, we're never going that far with someone. It's not Breaking Bad, but it's enjoyable spending time with all those people.
Yeah.
And also, it's just like it's interestingly... Periody, like you don't see
it's
a lot
Stranger
of like
things. I've just spunked the 80s all over the screen.
Okay. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think it's a bit more measured in its 80s homage.
I think the hairstyles are very
But I think that's just how
face.
It was, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
They're just normal hairs.
I've seen photos, but I don't know if I believe them.
Fucking hell. That's why you need to go to bed.
That's what I used to love most about watching the Crystal Maze, seeing the mad hair people would have like back in the days, like insane hair.
But that's it. It's because Crystal Maze, everyone went on in their best. Like, those were people's hairdos that they'd done specially to be on TV.
Yeah.
So you're just like, this is what you thought was really smart hair, you absolute freak.
Did you see that Wayne Bridge was on it a couple of weeks ago?
Was he?
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I missed it. I should go back.
I'd love
That'd
to
be
watch
a treat.
Wayne Bridge on a TV
Fan
show.
Fan of Wayne Bridge, Rory?
I don't know who that is.
It's mediocre English left back.
Yeah. He sounds lovely.
Yeah. He seems all right.
Seems like a decent bloke, Rory.
My
don't give him a hard time.
Friend and co-podcast host in London went to go do the Crystal Maze.
Oh, yeah?
Because you can do it now. You know, you like pay you know as a group.
About
and
3 years
it.
Ago, I paid about £60 to do that with some mates. We've still never done it.
What?
I don't know what's happened to that. I should chase it up, really.
You've definitely missed your appointment.
Yeah.
I don't know if we booked one. I think it was when it was in like the GoFundMe stage of it, and they were like, help fund it, and you are guaranteed a place, and we've just never actually gone and done our place.
I think you've
ridiculous.
Been swizzed.
Yeah, but you know, regrets.
Was your friend Kyle asking for the money, and it was like, just donate here at PayPal.com/Kyle/Crystal Maze/3D
Yeah, stick pics.
Don't know where you got Kyle from, but yeah.
Do you not know Kyle?
No, do you?
Yeah. Kyle told me knows you.
Oh, no.
Long story short, he said it was shit.
Yeah.
So apparently it was really bad, so he didn't miss much.
Really. Oh, that's a shame.
I've heard people enjoy it.
What happens at the end when they do all the money grabbing?
You still do it. You still go into the thing.
Please. But it just doesn't mean anything.
And I think you're one of X teams that competes in like groups.
Mm.
And then whatever, it's a competition to be the best group. I don't think you get any actual monetary value or anything, yeah. Which kind of like, it's like in Batman. If you're not afraid to die, you won't do shit.
What?
And in the Crystal Maze, you won't grab the crystals if you're not pushed to try and get the money.
What
you know?
Batman
are you quoting?
The Dark Knight Rises.
If you aren't afraid to die, you won't do shit. Does Alfred say that?
No, that's what Bane
that
says when he's
like
in the hole.
Nolan
and it's like,
does it?
It's like, it's like, I'm not afraid to die. It's like, oh, but you must be afraid, or else you won't actually jump. I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
Oh, he doesn't say you won't do shit.
You absolute fanny.
Now give me my 3DS back.
I've got important work to do. What a lovely chat about Glow that was.
It was. If you had to rate it out of 10 right now, what would you say?
Glow. 7.
Yeah.
I'd give it a 7.
Glow the show. That's a solid 7, which on Netflix is a 10.
What?
Because it's always just
is this
like,
something Bane said?
For me, Netflix shows are almost always like background shows. So it almost makes it better if they're not something I have to sit down and watch every second of. Like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, really good show. I don't think I'd ever sit down and watch it, but it is really good to have on when I'm doing stuff.
I sat down and watched it for the finale of the latest season, which, because it's really nice, and I was like, Jake and Amy deserve my attention.
Right.
Because I love them now.
I've heard Bane loves that as well.
Bane absolutely loves Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Bane!
Bane is
such a lovely cast of characters.
Bane!
Well,
give
I can't
me my 3DS.
This many years later, Bane is still funny to do.
I've doing made my testes stereoscopic.
I love that.
It's like a topological relief map.
All right, moving on to feedback.
Thank God.
Let me see. I'm just going to give these out at random. You can read Adam's.
Thanks.
Cardi, you can read Nova's. And I will start with Jonathan's.
Hello.
This is from Jonathan Sanders. He says, hey crew, hope you're all well.
Yes.
I've currently decided to sack off work in the UK and decided to solo trip around New Zealand for a few weeks.
What?
It's pretty badass. During one of the quieter evenings I've had here, I came across a new comedy TV series called Wellington Paranormal.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Helmed by none other than Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords and Taika Waititi of Everything right Hilarious now. Fame. It's a spinoff, obviously, of the brilliant What We Do in the Shadows, and the pilot episode apparently was excellent. His question is basically, have we ever stumbled across a series that we've loved purely by chance? And did we have any idea that this was in the works?
Did know that Wellington Paranormal was in the works. I didn't realize it was this... Well, I didn't know it was being released already.
I got really excited when I saw this email because I thought... I was like, have I missed it?
Have you not seen
it...
the trailer already?
I haven't seen the trailer,
no. I think you were on holiday. The trailer came out whilst you were away and we all watched it in the office. Because it's like 45 seconds, but it's... Do you know what the concept is?
Yes, I know the premise. So it's like the two police
it's
officers.
It's the two cops
basically
who turn
ripped
up.
You off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, unbelievable.
It's the two cops, for listeners, it's the two cops from What We Do in the Shadows, which you haven't seen. You should watch it, who are just kind... It looks like comedy X-Files in a lot of ways. because it just seems to be lots of different monsters and them having to deal with them, but being really like dry.
It's like an adult Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
I've always wanted.
You have. yeah, I'm well excited.
So to answer your question, we did know about it, and we are very excited about it.
In terms of comedy that I've stumbled across, the one that springs to mind is Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, which my dad saw on Channel 4 late night when I was at school, and knew immediately that I would love it, and so recorded it on VHS for me, and when I got home from school the next day, was like, watch this, and just gave it to me. It's one of the most touching father-son moments I've had, watching this thing and being like, oh shit, my dad gets me.
Oh.
It was really good. That show is an all-timer.
And then he was like, I'm glad you enjoyed it, son. Why don't we relax and play some 3DS? Don't look at that!
No! I just ran with it to CEX. No!
Oh, no.
I actually, I feel really bad because among a number of recommendations, Dale actually lent me the DVD for Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
It sat on your
desk. And it sat on my desk until the point where he just took it back.
And
I'm really embarrassed about it. I should actually ask to borrow it again because I would like to watch it.
It's very good.
Cardi.
My email, is that what you want?
Yes, please.
Well, I didn't write it. Jen Adley wrote it. Says, hello, podcast pals.
Hello.
I have one word for you on this subject, and I believe the Rory hasn't put in the email is good films with bad music.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right.
Oh, I didn't get to make my answer, so I'm going to have one after this.
Yes, you will. She has one word for us. Interstellar.
Not watched it.
Yeah, which is mad, because...
You haven't watched
Interstellar? Well, we had a conversation about this the other night. Yeah. Okay. I love it.
Basically, enough people who I trust said it was shite, and enough people who I trust said it was amazing, that I've never worked up the courage to watch it in case I disappoint one or the other side.
Ooh, I think you'll like
it. If you want it, let me know. I'll always have it for you.
It's on Amazon, isn't it? So I'll just watch it there.
Yeah. But she said, the film with music is so bad and so incomprehensibly loud that cinemas had to put signs outside the screens to advise customers that it meant to sound like that. I do remember that. I personally never had a problem with hearing the dialogue, but I do remember that was a thing when it came out. A bit like the Bane scenario.
I was gonna say,
Nolan has a thing of... But I also think he's... And a lot of people say this is nonsense, but I think he also likes to go for that sort of more realistic... Like, it would be loud in there, people would be... But I know that doesn't work for a lot of people when you're trying to listen to the
But
film.
Even this, like, specifically the soundtrack being... Like, the artificial music being too loud. Yeah, I remember that, though, in a lot of those sequences, it just being... blaring, obviously intentionally,
loud,
because it's supposed to disorient.
I actually like the music, so I didn't mind it was really loud. If you don't like the music, I can see why that would be an absolute pain. But she's gone on to say Hans Zimmer is amongst Hollywood's best composers when not reusing his own themes. bit harsh, but the Interstellar is a complete mess.
Jen's one of them.
It's a good chunk of the reason I've never been able to rewatch the film. It is actually, I've watched it since at home. It's a lot better because you can obviously control the sound yourself. So it won't actually bleed your eardrums. She says, good luck for those of you running the British 10K this weekend. I'm running too, so I might see some of you there.
Oh, hello.
Wicked.
There we
you know
go.
How they've
good
done
luck
like,
to you as well.
You know how they've done like a remake, like a fan remake of Man of Steel, but with color? Do you think someone will cut a non-mental version of Interstellar where the sound is normal?
That would be quite good, actually.
Yeah, because I think it's perfect. Right.
Well, Jen might like it.
To that,
Oh, it's A Quiet Place. It shouldn't have a soundtrack. Ooh, it ruins the film for me.
Controversial.
Well, no, it doesn't ruin the film. That film's
I
amazing.
I still haven't seen it.
But it's a film all about silence, and then they have and tension, and there's all these bits where it's like you know something's about to happen because it's doing the horror soundtrack thing of, and you're like, it's ridiculous. It just doesn't make sense.
It was really interesting listening to John Krasinski justify why he thought that was a good idea. And I think it basically came down to, because originally I think that was the plan, to have it without sound.
I think I don't know if it was the plan, but I think they talked about it.
Yeah, and I can imagine, like, if you're watching back a scene and you're like, this is so empty.
I honestly think it needs that.
Yeah, it would have been more ambitious and more, I don't know, risky to do that. I think a bit more admirable, I think, as well.
I think he talked about on the Home Ents release, they might do you can play it without a soundtrack.
That would be very
cool.
Which I
would be well into. Because I'd also like to be proved wrong. Like, if I watched it back and was like, oh, actually, this doesn't work at all, I'd like to find that out myself. That would be really cool.
Yeah, make your own film, Joe.
Okay. Adam Deveni. Hi there. I am a new listener to the podcast, and I'm really enjoying it.
Oh.
Seems like a great team you have working over there.
Thank you. What's his name?
Adam Deveni.
Thanks, Adam Deveni.
I was hoping your team might have any insider info on the teased trailer of Atomic Heart and the dev Mundfish. I would love to hear your views on it. Maybe on the podcast? Really exciting looking game. Can't wait to find out more. Kind regards.
I believe you've done a big old deep dive on this, Joe.
I did a dive as deep as is possible by talking to develop a Mundfish myself.
I'm glad I luckily just handed you that email as well. That was very lucky.
So when that trailer came out, I had exactly the same feeling as you, which is this looks absolutely incredible, but what the hell is it? So I did a very light amount of journalism and found out who was making it, and I talked to them, and they told us loads more. And so, better than me talking to you about it here, we have a whole written feature I've done with an interview with the CEO of the company, Robert Bagratuni, and we have a video version of that where you can see bits of the trailer. We've done it as sort of half a rewind theatre, like pointing out things we've spotted, kind of thinking about where it might be in the world and all that stuff. And that game sounds really, really interesting.
Mental.
Yeah. If you don't know anything about it, just watch the trailer.
Yeah.
And you'll, I think, immediately, it's one of those games where as soon as you watch that trailer, you're like, I got to know what this is. I got to see more about this.
Because you watch it and you're like, it's Bioshock, but it's also Fallout, but it's also...
Bringing it back around, it's kind of what I wished We Happy Few was.
Yeah, it's got the same, but it's got that same thing. When We Happy Few's first trailer came out, everyone was like, oh my God, what is this? Like, this story sounds incredible. Mm. And this is also an alternate history, I think, of the 60s, actually. Yeah. They could be in the same universe. Who bloody knows?
Could be the same game.
But it's robots and zombies and supernatural entities and mad KGB agents, and it sounds really good.
Wouldn't it be cool if you, like, take your happy pill and We Happy Few, and then it's like, now you're in
Atomic
the other
heart.
World. Yeah. Jumping back and forth.
Really, but yeah, Adam, thank you for getting in touch, but we've done that job elsewhere.
Exactly. So. But you can check it out on the lovely site, IGN.com.
Yeah, mate. Oh,
we all work there, and it seems to be pretty chill.
Or you can email us as well, IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com.
Oh, and you can also go to bit.ly/runIGN.
/runIGN.
Yeah, /IGN.
Capital R, capital I, capital G. Yeah.
That was well remembered. And if you follow us on Twitter, we'll all be tweeting about the 3DS Dick Pic article.
We'll all be putting our versions of it.
I had to dig out my 3DS again for the Captain Toad thing. I might see if it still works. Or if it detects you now.
Let's find the filthiest place we could put Captain Toad on his adventures.
Interesting.
Well, I'll just... You know, pretty obvious. Just
is it, though?
Replace my glands with his head.
Well. There we go. For the very latest on porn balloons and drugs.
Captain Chode.
We'll see you. Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.